Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo, and welcome to an hour of mind power. Today, we're going to be talking about empowering you in a very interesting way. My guest is Salvatore Manzi. Feng Shui is his particular area of expertise, and we're going to be talking about life mapping. And this is something that you can do, and you can do it in your own home, at your leisure. And by golly, Salvatore says this can make a difference with you. Salvatore, welcome to the show.
Good afternoon. Thank you so much, Donna.
Well, I am absolutely delighted to have you as a guest because I think feng shui is one of the most intriguing areas of studies that anyone can get into. And I know that there's different modalities associated with feng shui, but I'd love to hear your story about how you got turned on to such an interesting subject matter, and why is it that for you it was important to write a book about life mapping?
Oh, great questions. You know, I've been practicing feng shui for a little over 10 years now, and what happened 10 years ago is I was in a dead-end job, I was in a broken relationship, and I was living in a hole of an apartment in Hollywood. And I was about $23,000 in debt.
So that's exciting.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, when you're in that situation, you start looking for any kind of solution and trying anything. And someone gave me a book on feng shui, and I started moving things around and in my space, and my life started changing dramatically. Within 3 months, I had a new job, and I was living in a new space. I'd moved on from my relationship and was opening up to new relationships. And then after realizing that when the outer world was reflecting my inner world and I could change things in my life by changing my environment, I just started to start playing with the feng shui, and I created what I call a feng shui life map, which is a vision board plus a feng shui. So it's basically using a vision board on a feng shui bagua, and those are two big terms. I don't know, are you familiar with vision board?
Vision board I'm familiar with, but I remember the charts in the book, and there were specific positionings with this. Now, before we get into some of the detail, what were some of the things that you changed? I know clutter is a big issue. Like, get rid of clutter and things are automatically going to whip into place. And I think, gee whiz, if anybody could look at my desk right now, it looks like a whirlwind hit it. And if anybody comes along and sneezes, I won't know where half this stuff is.
That is, yes.
You know, so, you know, this is something we have to deal with. And no matter how tidy I get at certain times, all of a sudden it's just like, oh my goodness, where did all that paper come from? It's amazing. And I'm sure many of my listeners can relate to that. Talk to us about what you did that made the difference with you.
The first thing, I came to realize that everything is a reflection of who you are. Everything in your home is a reflection of who you are, who you were, but most importantly, it's a reflection of who you are going to be. And so what I started doing is I went around my space, and everything that was not a reflection of who I wanted to be, I decided to let go of. And I will be honest with you, it wasn't an easy task because, you know, there's an emotional attachment to the things that we have in our space. And so it's difficult to let go of a lot of those things. But ideally what you do is just look at the things that don't represent you anymore and then put them either in a box and send it to your mom's or get it out of your space altogether, and the clutter starts to get out. And that was the first stage. It's what I call the creating space stage of feng shui.
Okay. Well, I know that I remember someone, a woman that had, she was led a pretty orderly life, and she was pretty happy with her life, but she wanted to attract a partner into her space. And one day, all of a sudden, she looked in her closet and she said, gee whiz, if I had a partner in my space, there's no space for them to bring their things in. And so she started making adjustments in her closet and giving space, like if she had a partner, and doing some other things. And I think it was within 3 to 6 months there was a person in her life. And she said she felt that that was very much something that made a difference for her. Is this what you're referring to?
Yes, that, and I want to say two things. You hit it on the nail with the 3 to 6 month mark. A lot of times the changes that we make take about 3 to 6 months to really create the transformation that we're looking for in our life. So a lot of times when I do a feng shui consultation, the changes we make still take anywhere from 3 to 6 months before the dreams are manifest or realized. But the second part of what you said is two parts. One, you're creating a space such as making sure there's room in the closet for the partner to hang up their clothes. But there's also an element of getting rid of anything that's attached to the former lovers. I know in my own personal life, it wasn't until I got rid of everything that an ex had given me that I actually invited into my life a new, genuine love and had one of the longest
relationships. Oh, my goodness. What a good thought that is.
Yeah.
That is really significant because I don't think we look at things that way necessarily, and many of us will just keep things because
exactly,
maybe there's a memory. But what you're saying is significant. Letting go, especially if it's with a partner, letting go of those items. I remember someone burning love letters that they had gotten, and when they did, it was like they were totally released.
Exactly, exactly. I have a friend who has a very, very beautiful diamond necklace, and it's gorgeous, and she wears it a lot, and I asked her about it, and she said that she got it from her ex-husband, and I was like, you know, you're holding on to the energy of the ex-husband with the necklace, and she's like, but I don't want to get rid of it, and I said, well, think of it this way. By having that diamond necklace already, the new person that comes into your life is going to see it and think, huh, I guess I don't need to get her a nice big diamond necklace because she already has one. It's already, that space is already filled in. But when she, if she would get rid of it, she's creating a space for the new person to come in and get her an even bigger necklace with sapphires and everything else that she wants.
Mm-hmm. These are really interesting points. I don't think we often recognize how there might be issues attached. Now, let's say somebody had something, like this friend that had the diamond necklace, and they want to say, gee whiz, you know, this is worth a few $100,000. I don't think I want to give it away to the Goodwill. So maybe they go and put it in a safety deposit box. Maybe they don't wear it. Maybe they just let it go. Or perhaps it's something that might consider, maybe make it into, rearrange it into something else.
Exactly. Well, you know, what I recommend doing first and foremost is to hand it over to somebody in the family. Let somebody else that you love and trust take it and use it for a little while. That way it gets it out of your immediate sphere of influence.
Mm-hmm.
The second thing is, if you do just give things away, there is the charitable law, the karmic law. When you give away something, you open up the opportunity to receive three times whatever you have given. So you are in creating that sort of a vacuum to create wealth and abundance in your life. And the third thing is, if you were to sell it, which might be the most opportune thing, then you release that energy completely, and you can still use the money to buy something that you do want for yourself. So those are mm-hmm. three really good options for you.
Now, let's get into the chart and the B word you mentioned, because I'm not familiar with it.
Right. Well, in feng shui, we have what's called the Bagua, and it's an eight-sided chart. Basically, if you took a tic-tac-toe and looked at the eight sides of that, that would be the eight quadrants of the Bagua. And what we do is we use that as a map, laying that over the house or the floor plan of the house to determine what area of the house represents what area of your life. So there are nine life areas with the eight sides and the center making the Bagua. So basically when you lay the map over the house, when you go in the front door, that is your career area. And when you're going in the front door, the far right corner is your love area. And as a feng shui consultant, what I can do is go over to the far right area of your space and say, what in this space is reflecting the relationship that you wish to have And if I get over there and I find a dead plant, well, that's got to go. And we got to put something new there that reflects the energy and the desire that one person has in a relationship. Maybe it's a new, maybe it's cuddly, maybe it's a real vibrant, maybe it's a colorful relationship. Put a plant of that nature in there, and you're inviting in that reflection and that energy for that type of manifestation in your life. And you can do
you know,
all
one of the things that I wanted to mention, excuse me for interrupting you, but one of the things, Salvatore, that I wanted to mention is that this 8 or 9 section item, this map, when you're looking at different rooms, when you are looking at the rooms that you are discussing, for example, as you said, you have the front doorway, and then you are looking what's to the right, and it may show that that is the space, let's say, for the master bedroom. And what you're doing when you're working with that master bedroom, and you said this is something that enables you to designate, when you're feng shuiing a house, it enables you to designate what you're going to want to have there. And so many people, I think, with bedrooms, they dependent on the individual. It's been my experience, so often they're in such discord. And maybe they're not made up, the beds are unmade, there are shoes, there's socks on the floor, there's all kinds of things that go on. This all has a very disruptive element in the bedroom, doesn't it?
Yeah. Everything in the bedroom is a reflection of your relationship, basically. So anything in the bedroom that doesn't directly reflect the type of relationship that you want, it needs to be considered to be moved to another place. A lot of people will have a desk in the bedroom, and what that signifies is that the person is actually a little bit either married to their relationship, or that, I mean, married to their career, or that they're letting their career come before their relationship. And as you mentioned, laundry piling up, or unfinished tasks. Clutter is basically anything that's unloved, unfinished, or broken that's in a person's space, and that's just eating up energy that could be better used directed at directly at the relationship that you want. So
I think
it would be a good idea to move those out.
Now, here we have a 9-sectioned chart that we're using, and if a person has a 2-bedroom house, you know, it's one thing if you have one level, but if you have a 2-bedroom house, this chart is still the same chart that you use. Let's say they had their living room, their dining room, and their family room and kitchen area. Let's say that was in the back side of the house. You have an entry area, and then you have a staircase that goes upstairs, and then you have a 4-bedroom house, and I'm just using a basic place like we have in the Pacific Northwest. And you have the master bedroom and maybe an office on the right side, and then you have maybe a guest bathroom that would be in the middle of that diagram, and then maybe you have, let's say, a guest bedroom and maybe 2 bedrooms on the left side. So how do you work with a 2-bedroom house? Is it something that this is applicable to that as well?
Yeah, your question is really great, because it brings in the difference between the two forms, the two schools of feng shui. There's the classic or compass school, which basically would lay the map or the bagua according to a polar direction of north and south. Or there's the western style of feng shui, which is what I practice because I find it's easier for Americans and most people out here to understand a little better. And what we do is we laid the map with the career or the first quadrant at the entrance. So basically, you lay it over the entire blueprint of the house, with the entrance being the career area. And then every time you go into a room, you can lay the map out according to where the entrance is of that room. So you can then, the bagua might turn when you go into the bedroom and face a different direction. If you go up to the second floor, where the landing starts is the entrance, and that becomes the direction you're facing. And you can even take it up even higher and look at the whole house and the yard. so that the back garden becomes the love area and the front driveway becomes the career area. You can even lay the bagua out over your desk so that where you're sitting in front of your desk becomes the career area, and then the far right corner of your desk becomes the love and partnership, and anything in that area becomes a reflection of your energy in that space. I had a friend who had a desk, and she looked over in the right, far right corner, and she found a box of tissues, and she said, well, you know, I don't think I want to have a box of tissues in my love life. So she took that out and then put some flowers there. Much better choice.
Now that's really interesting, because you can take each room,
yes,
individually, and
yes,
work with it, depending on who's doing what in what room. Some people have more than one office in the room.
Right.
Some people might have an entertainment area that's specific. So this is really a wonderful tool that people would be able to use in a very positive way.
Exactly, and you can use it anywhere. You can use it in your car, you can use it in your bathroom, you can use it in your bedroom. You just lay the bagua over, and you know energetically whatever the far right corner is from the door represents your love life. So if you don't have something there that's already representing the love life that you wish to have, you can place something there. Or if you're looking over there and you're seeing a pile of dirty laundry or old newspapers, you know you want to move those things so that that energy isn't weighing down your love life directly. And that's what I did, is I took this bagua and I used that map with the nine areas as the foundation for creating a vision board, so that you cut out the pictures of the images of the things that you wish to attract into your life for those nine specific areas and place them in that area of your vision board and create what is called a feng shui life map. And when you complete that, you then have a blueprint that you can take into your house, and you can go around your house and you can see, okay, does this represent and does it reflect what I have put on my vision board? You know, if you want to be in a good relationship and you go over there, you can look and see, does this represent a good relationship? So, and that's what my book is, and that's what inspired me to write the book too, because it's the first time that anybody's ever really combined feng shui and vision boarding together, and I felt it important to put it into a book form to let people start playing and experimenting with it on their own and discover just how amazing and powerful it is in transforming one's life.
This is something I want to ask you about. I have heard people through the years, and I'm far from being a feng shui specialist, but they will say if you want to attract money, you should have a money frog and or maybe have a fountain in an environment like, and they would specifically say in your office if you wanted to have prosperity come your way. Now, here you have the bagua map that you're using. Does any of this apply, or is this the classic feng shui? And what is the money frog?
The money quadrant is the far left corner, so it's the opposite of the love quadrant. So anything in the far left corner is going to be reflective of your finances. And what you're talking with, we have what we call energy energizers in feng shui, and that's things like the fountain or crystals or mirrors or light or sound that you can put into a space or into a quadrant to specifically activate the energy of that quadrant to a higher level. What I recommend with fountains is fountains go specifically with the career area, because the career area is associated with water. And so when you put a fountain near the entrance and or near the entrance of the office itself, then you're energetically activating the career to a higher level. I know you probably notice when you go into a Chinese restaurant, there's always a fish tank or some sort of a water fountain right as you go in the door. And that is because they're trying to activate the energy right there at the entrance. One key important thing about the water, about fountains, is to make sure that the water of the fountain is flowing into the house and not back out towards the door. So if it's like a cascading fountain, make sure that the cascade is going into the house and not back to the door. Otherwise, you're energetically telling the energy to come in and go right back out, if that makes sense.
Well, it's intriguing to me because I've understood, you can also do the same thing with a specific mirror. And there was a terminology. There was a woman that was having a terrible time with her neighbor, and she had consulted a feng shui specialist, and they used a particular mirror, and this woman said, I thought it was a bunch of hooey, and she put the mirror up the way the person suggested she do it, and she, the neighbor that was so nasty and so terrible just didn't continue that way. And then after a while, she said, okay, everything's hunky-dory. I'm going to take the mirror down because I really don't like it in that place. She took it down, and the mirror was structured so that it faced towards the property that right. this irritated or irritating person occupied, and it was to direct energy out. What is the name of that mirror, and why was that effective? Now she won't take it down because she said after she took it back down, she said it was terrible. She just went yeah. back to what it was before, and so she said that mirror is going to stay up there till we move.
Exactly. There's a real quick side story. There was a company here in San Francisco which sued the company across the street because that company had placed one of those mirrors up facing their business, and they were afraid that the energy being directed at them was going to damage their business. So they actually sued the other company. They lost, but it's a humorous story. The mirror itself is called a Pagua mirror, P-A-G-U-A, Pagua mirror. It's an eight-sided mirror with the center part all being mirrored. And typically it's convex, which means that it bows out. And by bowing out, what it does is it directs, it basically powerfully, energetically shoots the energy from the center of the mirror back to whatever is directed at it. And by having a Bagua mirror, it's a very powerful tool. It's not something you want to have on the inside of your house. You would place it on the outside of your house facing whatever it is that is directing a negative energy at you or at your house. And it will reflect it and push it right back. And there are countless stories of my clients who have had problems with their neighbors who put up one of the Pagua mirrors towards whoever it was that they were not getting along with, and immediately the tension resolved or that person moved out or something like that happened. There's also, we like to use them if there's a tall building that's directly in front of your house and that is mm-hmm. basically blocking the natural flow of energy to your house. You want to use a Pagua mirror as well. So it doesn't have to be necessarily just a person or that's sending a negative energy. Anything that's actually blocking the natural flow of energy, you can use a Bagua mirror to push that energy back. But it is a powerful tool, and you should only use it on the outside of your house and not on the inside of your house. Otherwise, you're creating a little bit too much of an energy force inside of the house. So
now, that is very interesting to me about the energy force and not using it on the inside. That's quite interesting. So this is something that has obviously been researched by you, and so many people may be hearing something like this. Like this woman said, she thought it was, well, okay, maybe it was just a psychological period when everything went back to normal, went back to being a headache. She said, that thing is staying up because this person is probably going to live to be 250 years of age, and I don't want to deal with this. So she's not had any problems since.
Yeah, it's a very powerful tool, so you want to be sure you're using it in the right place. You know, there hasn't been a lot of research done on feng shui, unfortunately, but there's just countless testimonies of people that can tell you what happened in their life when they started using those tools or equipment. And the Bagua was one of my favorites. The other one is the mirror itself. You know, just a regular mirror will have a number of unusual effects. One of them is that it can double whatever it is that it is mirroring. So let's say if you want to increase your finances, a lot of people would put a mirror behind their stove because the stove represents a person's ability to create that force and energy and income in their life. It basically allows them to feed the family. So by doubling the amount of burners on the stove, the person is able to double their wealth, for instance. So But another person.
Oh, that's interesting. I've never had that. So hanging it up behind the stove, just a plain mirror.
A plain, regular mirror hung up behind the stove. What that does is it energetically doubles the number of burners. So instead of just having four, you would have eight, and then you would be able to, double your income because each burner represents wealth. You know, another thing I'd like to say about the burners of the stove is that make sure you're using every one of the burners. A lot of people will just use the same burner over and over and over again, and basically what they're telling the universe is that they're open to a flow of abundance, but only through one avenue. You know, I want to be open to every avenue of abundance, and so I make a point of using a different burner every time I go to my stove. And that way I'm telling the universe, you know, I'm open to every way that you want to bring me money and wealth. I am open to it.
Fascinating stuff. Absolutely fascinating stuff. Feng Shui's been around how long, Salvatore?
Well, you know, they estimate it to be about 3,000 years old. When they first started using it, it was in China, and they used it to figure out where the best place was to bury somebody. And it was called a form school of Feng Shui. You basically want to make sure that there's a big support behind you, such as a mountain, mm-hmm. and you want to make sure there's a nice flow of energy in front of you, such as a stream, and then rolling hills on either side. As it moved to northern China, where they didn't have such land formations as mountains, they began using the astrology and the stars to determine where you would want to have what positions and where you'd want to place the Pagua. And then when it came to the United States, which was in the 70s, they dropped the astrology and they decided to start using just the Bagua itself, along with different keys such as the five elements and understanding just good placement of objects in the space. So it's only been about 30, 40 years in America.
This is fascinating, and Salvatore Manzi, you have got a beautiful book here. Your diagrams in your book are very clear, easy to understand, and you go into so many points of information in the book. What is your website so people can find out more about you, your services, as well as this new book?
My website is at Feng Shui Life Mapping. That's FENGSHUI, lifemapping.com, Feng Shui Life Mapping.
Well, and I think it is a fascinating topic, and I just am intrigued with everything that you have shared, because you're not the only person that I've heard mentioning certain components, and the Bagua mirror is just absolutely amazing to me, because I was totally unfamiliar with it, and I had heard these stories, and For you to explain it at length was really interesting. So for those of you that really want to delve into this, he works with a westernized version, fengshuilifemapping.com. Check out his website. What is it going to hurt? This has been used for over 3,000 years. Why not use something like this for yourself? This is Donna Sebo. Salvatore, thank you so much for being my guest today. And by the way, his last name is spelled M-A-N-Z-I. We are going to be taking a break. Check out your Feng Shui Life Mapping and see what changes you can make. This is Donna Sebo. Again, thank you, Salvatore, for being with me. We're taking a break. We'll be right back.
Do you have children between the ages of 3 to 10? Do you love children's books and collect them? Then you'll want to know about God's Kiss, the award-winning illustrated children's book that has been enjoyed by families around the world. 15 beautiful illustrations by Pacific Northwest artist Ed Gedrose accompany this lovely story about a little boy named Johnny that will capture your heart and mind in a very special way. Multicultural and non-denominational in content, it will become a family favorite that you and your children will want to read again and again. This book is available by itself through Amazon, or if you contact me, Donna Sebo, directly, you can get a personalized signed copy. There is also a talking book. You can order the talking book CD by contacting me via email, donna@delphiinternational.com, or by calling 253-582-8255. 5604. You can also visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, to see more details. God's Kiss is a family classic that belongs in everyone's library. Get your copy now.
Have you ever had a friend tell you about a product they really believed in? Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Toprosyn is a homeopathic cream that is just fabulous. I use it and my friends use it for relief of painful discomfort such as aching muscles and sore feet. Odorless, non-greasy, it is a product that belongs in everyone's medicine cabinet and first aid kit. Check out Toprosyn.com. That's T-O-P-R-I-C-I-N and find out more information. You can order Toprosyn online or call 845-871-4900. That's 845-871-4900. Be sure to give them the code DS30, and you'll receive a 30% discount. Toprosyn, non-toxic, safe for children, too. This is a product that really works. Try it. I think you'll like it.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. Telephone lines are now open. The number to use is 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. Feng Shui is absolutely fascinating, and I'll have to share something with you quickly. I have a friend who presented a workshop with me just recently, and Robert is really knowledgeable about Feng Shui, and I learned about the money frog. And Salvatore was talking about it, and I really want more information. But there apparently is a tradition, and Robert showed me when I was visiting him in his office. He showed me the different money frogs that he has, and my goodness, one is just huge. It looks like a super-sized cane toad, but it's beautifully done, and it's this rich, rich, dark red, and he said it has a money coin in its mouth. Now, this is a Chinese money coin, and usually the coin in the middle of it has a semi-precious stone of some kind, and he said what you do is with that frog, you place it into the entry area of your house, or it can be in your office, and you do it by the door, but you make it so the frog is facing inwards. And what the frog does, it brings money to you. Now, something that he told me that was quite interesting, if you're going to have a money frog, you'd only have one, three, five, you know, you have odd numbers. And, or excuse me, I think it's in threes. You have one, or you have three, or you have six, or you have nine, something like that. Anyway, it was quite interesting. And he was telling a story about a woman who was having a lot of troubles financially. Her husband had been quite ill. So he said, get yourself a money frog and put the coin in the frog's mouth. Well, one day he went over to visit her, and he saw the money frog, and it was in the right place, and it was facing inwards to the house, but the money coin was gone. And she was having some financial difficulties, and he asked her what happened to the coin. She said, oh, I don't know. My grandkids just love to play with that frog, and they probably picked up the coin, and they were playing with it because they were little. And she said, must have dropped it somewhere. I haven't a clue. He said, okay. I'm going to get you a money coin, and I want you to glue it into the frog's mouth. I don't want you to let it fall out, so glue it into the mouth. So he went and got a large money coin, and he gave that to her, and he said, you're going to see a difference in your finances. And she called him back, I think it was within a month, and she had landed some just super spectacular contracts, and she said, I am so grateful to you. And he said, I told you, you were not able to accept money coming in because the money frog, the coin, had disappeared. So put the coin in, glue it, the kids can't disturb it, and you're going to find things are going to turn around. And they did. I'm going to find one of those money frogs. I don't know where to get one at this time, but he has them strategically placed in his office. He has one by the front door of his office where it's facing in. And nobody's going to step on it. It's by the front door, but he has the money frogs facing directly into his office. He has a waiting reception area. And then he has one that is by his computer that is right there in the front office. And the money frog is facing into the office. So it's fascinating stuff. It really, really is. And who knows? Maybe it's psychological. Everything starts with a thought. And when you clean up the clutter, that can make a big difference in your life. Why? Because you're getting things out of the way. And I really liked his suggestion about anything relating to whatever you don't want to be associated with anymore, pack it up and move it out. if you want to give it to your children or you want to do something with it, maybe donate it, that's wonderful. But it really is important. It is amazing the difference it can make. So I think that those little tips come from centuries of people observing certain things. And why not try it? You've got nothing to lose and everything to gain. Donna Siebel here. Give me a buzz if you would like to chat today at 888-627-6008. And for those of you in Western Washington, well, day after tomorrow is the Dickens Festival here in the Tacoma, Washington area. And I am going to be appearing at the King's Bookstore. I'll be doing many readings from 11:30 until 4. And the event is magical. It's absolutely wonderful. It's a great way to get ready for the holiday season. So why not come on down, say hello, and if you want some time with me, know that the money that you will be paying for those mini sessions, a portion of it is going to go to the charity that the Dickens Festival is supporting this year. I'm going into this. I think it's my fourth or fifth year with them, and I was so pleased to be invited. It's just so absolutely magical. Everybody's in costume. And there's carolers, and there's the different sleigh rides. They have all kinds of stuff. And, of course, there's lots of hot cocoa and delicious cookies. And this year they've got something brand new. It's a teddy bear parade. So I hope you'll come on out. It's day after tomorrow. And, again, I'll be at King's Bookstore in downtown Tacoma from 11:30 until 4. Donna Siebel here. Give me a buzz if you would like to chat. 888-627-6008. Well, tomorrow we're going to be talking with Robert Forman, and I love the title of his book, Enlightenment Ain't What It's Cracked Up to Be. And Robert has a good sense of humor. But this is a man that decided to embark upon a particular, well, shall I say, a spiritual pilgrimage of type. And he found out that it had a lot of twists and turns that he never, ever expected. So we're going to be chatting with Robert tomorrow, and then we're going to be talking next week about some wonderful, wonderful subjects. One is animals. That's going to be on Monday. Animals and the kids who love them. Linda and Alan Anderson, two people that have just the most sincere caring and dedication for animals. They've written a number of books. They've been on the show before. This is a new one. It's great for the holiday season. Then Dr. David Perlmutter is going to be a guest on Tuesday, Working Parents, Thriving Families. This is something that's so important because in our world, both parents frequently are working. Families don't have to feel like they're falling apart or they're just existing, and they can have good, strong interactions. So we'll be talking about that on Tuesday. Managing depression through exercise, Jane Baxter. This is such a big, big subject. Exercise really does help you battle depression. They have proven it scientifically, and we're going to find out more about that next week. And then creating personal presence. Wow, that is something that if you're out looking for a job, you're wanting to make changes in your life, this is significant. Diane Buher is going to be with us. And then for those of you that love animals as much as I do, and you may love them even more, I don't know, I'm not going to compare, how about figuring out what you do to design your environment just for your pet. Petscaping. Landscaping we all know about, but this is petscaping. So we're going to have an environment for our dogs and cats or whatever that is going to be really beneficial. So we've got a great lineup of guests. And if you want to find out who's coming up on the Donna Siebel Show, all you have to do is check in at BBS Radio. And you go into the information, show information, touch that button, and you'll be able to access all of the information regarding the upcoming guest. So there you go. And I wanted to share with you a story. This is the holiday season. And I think one of the most wonderful parts of the holiday season is finding out what people have gone through in their lives and why it is so significant to them. And I just thought that this really would be fun to share with you some of these personal stories. And this one is about a 5-year-old little girl. And the man that wrote the story, his name is Floyd, and he said this was Christmas of 1977. And he said, my little girl, she was all of 5 years of age, and she knew exactly what she wanted for Christmas. And she told him in no uncertain terms what it was. And he said she would want to have a pink and green plastic umbrella with a clear top. That's what she wanted. And he said she loved the rain, and she loved to have an umbrella that was clear. She really wanted to be able to watch the rain as it hit the umbrella. She said, that's really fine, but I want you to know what is most important to me is a Barbie townhouse, and I want all the accessories. Well, in 1977, that wasn't inexpensive, and it's not inexpensive today. Barbies, my goodness, how many Barbies have come out since 1977? Well, he was surprised because his little girl really had never played with Barbies. He said she liked stuffed animals. She didn't like to be in a structured environment of any kind. She always was, I'm going to make the rules. I'm going to design my world. I'm going to do it my way. So he was a little perplexed with this because it was so unlike her typical desires. Well, he said, okay, she wants the Barbie townhouse. He said, she doesn't want the Barbie. Now, Dad was thinking about different things. And he said, maybe it's because we've moved 5 times that she really wants to have a house of her own. So, what does a dad do? Well, you know, if you're a dad or you're a mom, you know at holiday season what you do. You go out looking for what it is that your children want. And he found it. He found this huge Barbie townhouse. And there was stuff all over it showing what it had. It had 3 floors of just exquisite fun. An elevator went up and down through the 3 floors, and you're going to have to put it together. Well, Floyd was not known for his ability of putting toys together. So when we come back from break, I'm going to share with you what this dad decided he was going to do. It's a cute story, and I think you'll enjoy it. Donna Siebel here, and also if you want to give me a buzz, you can call me at 888-627-6008. When we come back, we're going to find out what Dad had to do at Christmas of 1977 with a Barbie townhouse. We're going to be right back.
Are you taking too many oral pain pills and concerned about the side effects? Are you having trouble getting to sleep at night because of the pain? Well, I'm Lou Paradise. I had the same problems you have, cured my pain, eliminated pain pills and their side effects by developing Toprasin, pain relief and healing cream. Toprasin relieves pain without the side effects. It doesn't burn, it doesn't smell, and it doesn't stain. But don't take my word for it. Doctors, pharmacists, and pain specialists are using and recommending Toprasin and ending the suffering for thousands of people just like you. We know you hurt. We want to help. We are so sure that Toprasin will work for you. We offer a money-back guarantee. So if you want the pain relief without the side effects, ask for Toprasin. Toprasin is available at Duane Reade, Quick Check Pharmacies, and Wegmans. Ask for Toprasin or call 1-800-959-1007 for a store near you. That's 1-800-959-1007. Toprasin, the last pain medicine you'll ever need, and you can sleep on that.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature. However, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Siebel. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com. and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Hi, this is Donna. Okay, I was telling you about a dad. 1977 is the Christmas. His wonderful 5-year-old daughter has told him exactly what she wants to have. So dad finds the townhouse. However, there is assembly required. When he was growing up, he didn't do things with his hands. This is not a guy that really likes to put things together. And he said there had been a few years before this situation with his 5-year-old daughter. He tried to assemble a 6-foot-tall jungle gym from a kit. They had so many parts, he spent the first 4 hours just sorting and crying because he couldn't figure out what to do. Well, then when he finished building the gym for his daughter, of course, she was just a little thing, he didn't know what to do with all these leftover pieces. You can imagine, it must have been a terrific experience for him. And the day he finished building this outdoor gym, he said there was a tornado that hit not too far from where he lived. Their house was fine, but the jungle gym didn't survive. So you get an idea that this guy really is not good at putting things together. However, he's a dad, and he cannot disappoint his little girl. So, he assembled the Barbie townhouse on Christmas Eve. He kept it so that it was just perfectly level. Columns were put in the elevator. Well, he almost didn't make it with that. He was just having a terrible time. And he had to build it without any swear words because his daughter was sleeping. And he said, I was all alone with this. His wife was nowhere to be found. This was his job to do. Well, AM comes, and if ever you've had children in your household on Christmas morning, they're always up earlier than anybody else. They can hardly contain themselves. He finished it by dawn. He hadn't had any sleep. And, of course, guess who walks in? His little girl. That's right. And he said she had her favorite bear that was stuffed under her arm. And she looked at him, and she was shocked. He said it wasn't any more so than he was, because he had thought he was at least going to be able to get a couple of winks before she came into the room, but that wasn't to be the case. He said she was definitely surprised, but the delight when she saw her Barbie townhouse just made his day. It just absolutely made his day. And when he tells this story, it's 34 years after the fact. He said his daughter, it still is one of his favorite stories to tell about Christmas, because his daughter had given him the incentive to do something that he really didn't think he could do. And he said, it was a big step in helping me understand that I could overcome my doubts about what I was capable of doing. And he said, when I think about it, there's probably the fact that it was a big surprise for her to see her first glimpse of her Barbie townhouse. And he said she probably figured out that Dad had built it since Dad was there in the morning. But he said he found out later that maybe she was surprised because she had planned on building the townhouse herself. I just love that story. I thought, oh, poor dad. Here he thought something, but he had a precocious 5-year-old that loved doing things herself, but it was a most memorable Christmas. And we all have, I think, those memorable Christmases where we just remember those memories with a joy and a feeling of warmth and fulfillment that is just absolutely incredible. And sometimes you have situations. I know when my daughter was about her age, there was a Christmas I didn't have very much money.
So I bought a couple of things, and I remember her being interested in the things, but the next thing I knew is she wanted to know where this particular doll was that she was expecting, and I didn't have a clue that that's what she was interested in. So sometimes it's a good idea to have a Santa of some type around that you can find out what a child really wants, because you're not going to be able to read their mind necessarily, and sometimes they'll come up with something that in a million years you might not even consider as a gift for them. But regardless, we all have those moments, and we all have those years when we can talk about, gee whiz, we didn't have very much money, and this is what we did, and so on and so forth. But the stories from the heart are always very, very special around this time of the year. Well, what about your 2012 winter horoscope? Are you up for that? Well, let's take a couple of signs, because we've got just a couple of minutes before we're going to be closing the show out. Let's start with the sign Aries. What about you for the winter months? Well, if you're looking for a job, this is the time to be out there hustling. Holiday season or no, let's get that resume out, because you may have that job come into your environment in a special way. But you may also find that family, you're going to be taking on some responsibility with family members, and you're going to have some stress. So there's some family issues that might be coming up. Just realize they will pass. Deal with them one day at a time, one situation at a time, and you'll get through it very nicely. But when it comes to career, you really might be able to move forward in a very fast, positive way. And what about traveling? Well, there might be some opportunity for that. But if I were you, I'd recommend saving your dollars until you have the money for the big trip that means the most to you as an individual. Save up those dollars so that when you do have that trip, whatever time of the year that you want to take it, you're going to be able to enjoy it with a sense of ease, because that'll be your travel money. That'll be your mad money that you're using, and you won't get stressed about bills or anything else. Well, I know that we're out of time here. This is Donna Sebo, and tomorrow, well, we are going to be talking about enlightenment ain't what it's cracked up to be. And I'll tell you, Robert Forman has a great sense of humor, and I really think you're going to enjoy him. And he'll give you some insights and perspectives on how sometimes the choices we make create so many of the opportunities and or disadvantages that we may find as lessons of experience. And there's no such thing as a free lunch. This is Donna Sebo. Remember, always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. You are the holder of your own personal magic. Why? Because it's not just what you think, but it's what you do with how you think and what you think that makes a difference in life. You're very special. No matter where you are, no matter what your circumstances are, your life is meant to be lived with purpose, with value, and with a sense of fulfillment and satisfaction. I'm so glad you were able to join me today. And just know, we'll be here, same time, same place, tomorrow, right here at bbsradio.com, Station 1. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.